It's Nolan and Nolan bringing you the BP3 podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 18 of the PP3 podcast, hosted by Nolan Keough and Nolan Wyatt. Welcome, everyone, to the season one finale, where the boys will go over the NHL draft, NHL free agency, and everything going on around the hockey world. But first off, like we always do, kicking it over the NW21. Noel, what's going on, bud?
Hey, brother, how's it going? I'm going good, dude. Hopefully this works a little bit better than it did yesterday.
Yeah.
For all those who saw our story yesterday, we tried to get this going for like an hour yesterday, but Wi-Fi troubles and technical difficulties. We're not in the big leagues yet, so it was a bit of a battle to get it going. But so far, so good today. And yeah, looking forward to kind of recapping the trade deadline, or not trade deadline, the free agency, end of the season, and just a whole bunch of changes here in the NHL. A lot of roster swaps and a lot to talk about, but before we jump into that, Keezer, how you doing?
Good, buddy, good. So last week we had the Poo-Poo 3 podcast, and this week it's looking kind of the same because I got shit on. Friday, I was telling you.
Was it yourself?
Crazy. It was not myself. So last week, shit was flying out of me. This week, I got shit flying at me. I was walking my dog on the waterfront in the Nanaimo waterfront downtown, and I feel something hit my shoulder, and I look over to my shoulder, and it's like, it looks like a Cadbury cream egg.
Oh my God.
You know, but like green, if you added like green food coloring to it.
Oh, you got the St. Patty's edition?
The St. Patty's edition, yeah. So I'm like looking at it, I'm like, oh, what the fuck is it? I didn't realize at first what it was. I honestly thought somebody threw something at me. Because like bird shit's usually white, right? Not green. So, and then there's a lady behind me, and I had my headphones in, so I couldn't hear what she was saying. But she's kind of looking at me and laughing and like holding her mouth. I'm like, oh, fuck's sake. So I got a little bit on my shoe, a little bit on my shoulder. So apparently that's supposed to be good luck.
Yeah, it is good luck.
So I guess we'll see what good luck we get today.
The poop gods are angry with you.
That was the most eventful thing of the week. How about you? Anything going on the boat?
Or? Sounds like an unreal week, dude. And sad to say that nothing that exciting even happened to me this week. Kind of in the dog days of summer here, just finishing up work. But the weather's turning a corner, so had a few days off this weekend. Just hung out with the dogs, soaked up the sun. It's been nice, man. Good to recharge and just hang out. But yeah, nothing too exciting. I don't know if I didn't go on any ghost adventures this week or nothing like that, but it was just all in all a pretty solid week here.
That's good. That's good. Well, let's get over to the NHL draft. Yeah. Why not? So
before we go into the draft, you mentioned that this is our season finale.
Yeah.
You want to explain why we're doing that?
Sure. So, I mean, like everybody knows that listens to us, it's been difficult to release podcasts every week with just our schedules. I'm doing some summer classes and working full time. Nolo's on the boat all the time, so it's kind of tough to get together on some weeks. Some weeks we have short. Nolo's on the boat early Sunday or coming home late Friday, so it's tough to kind of rearrange schedules and make sure we have stuff coming out every week. So with the NHL free agency finishing up and the draft finished up, we just thought it'd be good to get a little break for a month or so. And so we're going to be coming back probably somewhere late August, early September, something like that. And it's just kind of like a season one finale. We thought right now was probably a good time to just kind of take a break, recharge, enjoy the rest of our summer. Obviously, we're going to still have some content coming out to you guys on the Instagram page, whether it's just stuff around the NHL or stuff that me and Nola are doing when we're golfing or stuff like that. So we'll make sure that you're following us on that. We'll still have some stuff coming out. But we just thought it'd be good time to kind of recharge, enjoy the rest of the summer, and then bring out some really good content for you guys when the NHL world and junior hockey world's kind of come back around September. So we got some big things coming up, potential NHL player coming on. I think that's pretty much 99% confirmed there. Some D1 players coming on. So some really good players coming on, some really good conversations that we're going to be bringing to you guys. And yeah.
We're going to try and load those up throughout the rest of the summer whenever we get the chance. And then next year when the NHL kicks off and me and Keo are back in the trenches of university, we'll have some interviews loaded up and ready to go. And it'll be a lot easier for us to fire out the episodes, kind of how we were at the beginning, because we'll both be in Nanaimo again. But as for right now, yeah, it's a bit of a battle to keep the pods coming out. We still love doing it. It's just a difficult time right now, just with our schedules conflicting. And you're taking off on holiday pretty soon here, so as we go on it'll just get tougher. But yeah, so this is a good natural segue into the summer here, so hopefully hopefully you guys enjoy the last episode here.
So like Noel said, I'm going on vacation beginning of August to Italy, so there might be something. I don't know if we want to completely copy Barstool and do some food reviews, but I wouldn't be opposed to doing something.
I want to see some content wise.
Some wine reviews. Yeah, maybe do that. We'll sort something out. I'd love to at least get some sort of content when I'm over there.
Totally.
For you guys. So if you guys have any ideas, DM us or shoot us a text, whatever. But let's kick it over to the NHL draft. So we're not going to go over every pick, but just the big ones. So obviously, Macklin Celebrini goes first overall, wins the Hobie Baker this year, 64 points in 38 games with Boston University. He also just signed his entry-level deal yesterday with San Jose. So it looks like after some rumblings that he might be going back to college because his buddy Cole Iserman is going to be going to BU, it looks like Celebrini is going to make the jump and go to the NHL this year. So that's great news for the NHL and Sharks fans. So the other big pick in the top five overall selections, Ivan Demidov, Montreal, gets an absolute steal. Maybe the second most skillful player in this draft. We've seen Russian players in the past drop, just like Michkov, your boy. He dropped into your Flyers last year. Demidov, just an outstanding player. He had 60 points in 30 games with St. Petersburg, in the NHL. He broke the all-time record for most points per game among 18-year-old skaters at 2 points per game, breaking Kucherov's record of 1.87. Rumor has it Montreal is going to sign him to an ELC soon, so that would be big news there. Noel, anything you wanted to touch on with those two selections?
Celebrini, that one's not much to debate there. It's been kind of widely regarded, at least this whole draft season, that he was going to be the first overall pick. Even San Jose wasn't doing a great job of hiding it, but it makes no surprise to me. Like, he's another cornerstone player. He's no Bedard, he's no McDavid, but he's going to be a huge piece for years to come in San Jose. And the way they're loading up with young guys, him and Will Smith especially, I really like what they're doing. And now they have, we'll get into some other pieces they've added, but San Jose is looking to kind of regroup and reload here, and Celebrini is a good piece to kind of start with that. And like you mentioned, it looks like it's a bit of a toss-up whether he'll be back in playing in Division One or in the NHL this year. But well, he's one of those players you want to see jump into the league kind of right away, because he's got that flashy game that just creates fans, creates highlights, and that's what you need in San Jose right now, especially after the season they just had. And as far as Demidov goes, I mean, like you mentioned, Russian players, you see them kind of fall in the draft sometime, and I wonder if that has something to do with maybe the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and all that bullshit, because, well, not bullshit, but all that drama, because they're staying away from international hockey. And in the past, you've seen players struggling to get back over to North America. And I don't assume it'll be the same with him, but could play in a factor. But regardless of that, he's going to be a huge pickup. And he's just a smooth, smooth, silky goal scorer. And I'm excited. And also in that top five, a bit of a surprise there was Anaheim going third overall, taking Beckett Sinek. That pick kind of shocked everybody. What is your take on that?
I had no idea who he was until I saw the draft. Never heard of him. And then, I mean, his reaction is all time, eh?
Says it all.
Looking at his dad like, what the fuck? That's like, it's crazy. You hear the fans in the sphere even laughing a bit, just because, I mean, everybody can read his lips. And nobody saw that coming. That was by far the biggest surprise in the draft. But I guess he had a great playoff. And, I mean, it just shows you how much one series or one kind of group of games can impact your draft stock, right? You're playing at the biggest stage at that level in the playoffs, right? The most meaningful games, and you're able to turn it up. Like, it tells you a lot about the kind of clutchness of a player and how they can stay calm during big pressure moments. I saw some development camp videos from Anaheim, and he looked really good out there, just fitting in really well, making some skillful plays. So
he's a smooth skating forward, man.
He's good, dude. He's good. He's
very good. See. He had 68 points, I believe it was, in 63 games with the Oshawa Generals this year of the OHL, which is nothing to scoff at. I mean, that's a significant number. Sure, there's guys above him with more point per game than he had, but the impact this guy had in big games, and just, I don't know, they're looking for something, and he might be their diamond in the rough, regardless of what kind of everybody and fans are saying. They wasted a pick. They could have got this guy. They could have got that guy. Sure. Because looking at the pre-draft rankings, they had him going 13th, Beckett Sinek. And that leaves a lot of guys on the table that could have gone, guys like Tiju Ginla, Cole Iserman, like you mentioned, and Ziv Boum, the D-man, who everybody kind of regarded to go third overall was that Ziv guy, the defenseman from Denver. But when you look at what Anaheim needs, they really didn't need any more big defense. They just needed, or a big skill D-man. They needed some scoring forwards. And I like the pick with Beckett Sinek. Just a bit of a head scratcher that skipped on my boy.
Cade Lindstrom. Yeah. You're high on him. You love him.
I was very high on him.
He's a big boy. I never heard of him before you showed me some highlights of him. And you sent me a highlight video of him probably 3 months ago. And you've always been high on him. So, I mean, what do you see from his game?
So, he's a big, tall forward. He's got lanky, but he's still filling out. He looks lanky out there. 6'3", I believe, 218 in that ballpark. And he skates like, he doesn't skate like it. He skates like kind of a solid low to earth. He's just smooth, fast, and he has a shot that's like, you and I talked about it. A lot of these young kids and younger draft generations, they're all coming up with this deadly accuracy, this deadly shooting, quick release. A lot of like things that some of the old dogs, they all have a different shooting style, but these young kids can just rip the puck in a different way. And he's one of them. He can shoot it from in tight. He can shoot it from off angles. He can shoot it through defenders. And among that, he's also able to muscle guys off the puck. He's creative. He's like, he's strong on the stick. I was really impressed with him. Just watching some of his highlights this year with Medicine Hat, kid looks like a natural goal scorer. He's not afraid to go to the dirty areas to score goals. And I just like, he plays with a bit of grit and tenacity and a little bit of snarl. And you and me, we like to say like the players need a bit of fuck you. Those are kind of players, and I think he has that. And for him to fall to fourth, I mean, looking at that, he was third or fourth in the conversation. Anaheim could have scooped up a big time player there, but he goes fourth overall to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So unfortunately, we probably won't see a lot of media coverage on our boy anymore because he's going to Columbus. But super excited to see what this guy brings to the NHL level.
Player that went after Demidoff at fifth, Tyler Ginla. That's a player who he was projected to go late first round, early second round, and then he has an absolutely stellar year with Kelowna. So last year, he only had 18 points in 48 games with the Thunderbirds. Then he gets a trade over the Kelowna, and 84 points in 64 games, just explodes. He has 15 points in 11 games in the playoffs as well. It looks like he's going to take after his dad, just be a great player. I think that's a really good pick for Utah there at that number six spot. You got a new franchise. You want to bring some fans in, kind of create a culture, I guess, create some hype around the team. And getting a player like that, just the name itself, Iginla, that's a huge thing for your franchise. So I love that pick there for Utah. I think it makes a lot of sense. Brings a lot of hype around that team. And I mean, we'll see what he can do next year if he can crack the team. But whenever he does crack the team, I guarantee you he's going to be a fan favorite. He's a fast kid, a little bit small, but plays gritty, just like his dad. Has a sick shot. He's an absolute sniper. So, I mean, that's a great pick for Utah there. It's going to be, they got a really exciting team this year. So
yeah,
we'll see if they can kind of make a playoff push. And when Ginla comes in, it's going to be a competitive team, I guarantee you. So
I wonder cool if he'll, I wonder if he'll play for Utah, because his dad, Jerome Iginla, was drafted by Dallas and never played for them. So maybe we'll get a little drafted by Utah and then ship off to Calgary. No, that'd make me a little bit happy. Just kidding. I don't know. He's a fast, he's gritty, man. He's tough. He's gotten some fights this year. He plays with a bit of an edge, same as his dad. He's a hard worker. He battles for every puck. And just as you mentioned, the way he climbed up the draft stock, that's not something you just happens by good games and good luck. He must have grinded and worked to get to where he is now. And to go fifth overall, that's huge. And Utah, great pick by taking him there.
Yeah, one player that didn't crawl up the draft board, he actually crawled down, Zeev Bulam, who you just mentioned before. I'm super, super high on him. He had 50 points in 42 games with Denver this year. He records the first 50-point season by a Denver freshman since 1984. He helped Denver win their NCAA record 10th national championship this year. He entered the draft as the highest-rated American player and ranked 4th among North American skaters. So Minnesota getting him at 12th overall, that's an absolute steal there. Like, if he turns out the way that scouts have been scouting him and projected him to be, like, a first pairing offensive defenseman, 70 to 80 point guy, it's an absolute steal there. Like, I see him as a, just watching some of his games with Denver this year, he reminds me a lot of, I guess, Samuel Girard on Colorado, but just a way better version of him. Can play defense.
Who'd you compare him to? It glitched out. Who'd you compare him to?
Oh, I compared him to, like, a really good Samuel Girard.
Okay.
Like when Girard was, I mean, he's kind of fell off a little bit now with Colorado. He's not what people thought he was going to turn into, but, like, imagine, like, the hype that Girard had, and
yeah,
if he actually came out and filled up to his potential, I could see that with Zeev Bulam. He's sick. When he was younger playing, I guess it was probably midget or bantam, he was actually a winger. So he transitioned late to a defenseman, and yeah, he's sick. He's a really good offensive defenseman. I really like his game.
He did the reverse BR.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot tall, 185 pounds. So that's a sturdy, solid D-man. It's not big by today's standards, but the way he plays kind of makes up for it. He's a playmaking two-way D-man, and to get that into Minnesota's kind of organization, a little bit of skill on the back end is something I think they're really lacking right now. And if, like you mentioned, he can kind of blossom into what he's supposed to be, it's going to be a great pick coming at 12th there.
And the last player I wanted to go over in this NHL draft, Cole Eiserman. He drops to 20th overall to the Islanders. In my eye, I look at his stats, I look at his highlights. It's an absolute steal by the Islanders,
yeah.
A team that's been struggling to find scoring in the last couple of years. They're a very defensive team. That's how Lou likes to kind of make his teams. And, I mean, drafting this kid, he's sick. He can rip the puck. He had 92 goals in 88 total games across all competitions this year. You're scoring over a goal a game in the U.S. development program, and he had 9 goals in the World Juniors in 7 games. He had 9 goals.
Yeah, he's sick, man.
As an underager. Like, that is crazy. He's still only 17 years old. He's 06. He was projected 2nd overall at the beginning of the year, but fell due to his poor two-way game. I look at forwards like Kaprizov and Ovi and, like, some guys that maybe don't have that two-way game, but their offensive flair and just the way they're able to put points up. Kucherov as well. Like,
he's a pure shooter.
Yeah, like, every team has a player that is just strictly offense, right? And I think this guy can be that one exception for the Islanders.
And they need that, man.
They do need that.
Goal scoring. They can't win every game 2-1 and 2-0. Like, they need some prolific scoring. I mean, what he did with the national team this year, I don't know if he brought up his exact stats, but I got it here. With the U.S. national U18 team this year, 57 games played, 58 goals, 31 assists for 89 points. And then, like you mentioned, he had 9 goals in the World Junior under-18s this year.
He's sick, dude.
He's a shooter.
He's got tons of upside, I think. I mean, yeah, you can worry about, obviously, you do need to play at both sides of the ice if you want to be a good team and be a valuable player, get your payday, right? You got to be able to play both sides of the puck. I think that's something they can teach in him.
I think that's something he's going to have to learn if he's playing in New York.
I think he will learn it, right?
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt. But at the same time, like, for him to get into that system, he's going to have to learn defense first and to even get into the lineup, because yeah. Lou's not fucking around with guys that aren't back checking.
No, Lou's ruthless in that way. So, I mean,
who would you compare him to? Did you compare him to anybody?
No, I mean, I don't know.
When I was reading his pre-draft report, all the, like, the professionals, all the insiders and experts were saying that he's like the biggest and most just natural goal scorer in the whole draft.
Yeah, I mean, his goals this year.
You know who he reminds me of? Cole Caulfield.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good comparison.
Yeah. I just think he's a small little sniper.
Yeah, I think Yzerman's got some... I think he's a bit faster. Okay. But other than that, like, he rips the puck just like Caulfield. He's got that offensive flair. You could put him on a one-timer spot and you can just rip the puck. So... yeah, I mean, 20th overall, that's an absolute bargain, I think. The upside that you have on him, I think that's a great pick there the Islanders. I really, really like that. I think that has potential to be the steal of the draft.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
One more player.
Is there any other players you wanted to go over?
I have one guy that I just have a sneaky suspicion is going to be good. Michael Brandzeg Nygaard, going 15th overall to Detroit. He's just a scorer. He's another guy in that kind of category, just natural goal scorer, sniffs the front of the net, can shoot the puck. I don't know a whole lot about him, but just watching his game tape from like the World Juniors and just highlights from Junior and everything, his kind of resume is there. I don't know. I think him going up 15th to Detroit, I like how he plays, and he's just one of those scoring, exciting players. And I just think, I don't know enough about him to give a whole big speech on him, but I just think he's going to turn into something nice for Detroit.
Fair enough. Yeah, I didn't really hear much about him either. And then just looking at the draft stocks and looking at the draft results and hearing the Sportsnet insiders talk about him, and apparently that's going to be an absolute steal. Yeah. So. I think they gave an A to Detroit on that pick. So, I mean, Stevie Y, he's got some boots to fill when it comes to them making the playoffs. But
he's Norwegian.
I do remember reading about him. Yeah, he's the first. Was it first Norwegian?
First ever Norwegian to go in the first round. That's why there was so much stuff about him. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be a smart, defensively sound winger and can shoot. Basically, all I saw about him was he shoot and he plays like a mature style game. But he looks like, reading right now, it looks like he's got a great defensive upside, and that's something that fits into Detroit's role as well. And just, I don't know, keep his name on the radar. I think he doesn't have big shoes to fill, but I think that he could exceed some expectations.
There you go. So let's go over who we think the winners and losers are the draft. Nolo, do you have any winners in mind? Who do you think stole the draft?
I think Calgary did well this year. Zane Parekh in the first round. Andrew Basha, kind of a BC boy, played for Medicine Hat. He's nice. And you want to know a funny story about Andrew Basha?
Let's hear it.
Me and him, one time, when I was like, when Fortnite was in his prime, we would get into a squad together. I didn't know the guy. We got randomed, and he was like hockey boy something something. And we played like multiple rounds. I was like, this name sounds familiar. And I remember just like a name like that and like getting this kid's Snapchat off of Fortnite. Sure as shit, I have this guy on Snapchat from playing Fortnite with him like 5 years ago.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, Zane Parekh, him, those are two big picks there. And then my pick for the win of the draft was Seattle, because Berkeley Catton is a very severely underrated pick in my mind. He almost slipped out of the top 10 because of his size, and the Kraken sniffed him up and grabbed him. And he's one of the best offensive talents in the class, and he went 8th overall. He's a Spokane Chiefs kind of standout player this year. We had Parker Bell on the show a couple episodes ago to talk about the big dogs in the WHL this year. And Parker mentioned that Berkeley Catton's an absolute stud. And he seemed to be slipping out of a lot of teams' hands just because of his size. And Seattle didn't care. They took the risk. Among some other big picks, I'm going to take Seattle. I think they got the steal of the draft with Berkeley Catton there.
Yeah, I'm going to go Minnesota. I really like what Minnesota did this draft. Like I said, I've been super high on Zeev Bealum. Just watching his highlights, kind of watching his game. I think he has a really good demeanor on him too. He's got a good personality. Seems like a good kid. If at a 12 overall spot, getting an offensive defenseman, you look at what the Canucks got with Quinn Hughes when they drafted him 7th. I mean, there's tons of upside with somebody like him, pairing him with Brock Faber in the future. I really, really like that pick. And they also got Aaron Kirivaru, who he went up to Billy Guerin after he got drafted in the fourth round and said, "You made the biggest steal of the draft." The balls on that, I love it.
I do too.
He's got that dog mentality. You can just tell just from that conversation there. He was projected to be a top 15 pick, but he fell due to a torn ACL, and he missed almost all the year. He only played 7 games in his league. So, I mean, 122nd overall pick, and he's projected to go top 15. Like, if he can pan out to even be a second pair defenseman, that's a steal right there. So I really like that pick there. I think, I mean, you got Bealum, Faber, Kirivaru. That's a really good decor there if all those players can fill up to their potential. And I really like what Minnesota did this draft. So, yeah, Minnesota, they get my winner's banner.
I like it, dude.
Noel, anything else you wanted to add on to the draft?
No, not a whole lot beyond the first round and kind of the big names there. It's getting weird as we get older following kind of the draft, because like when we were younger, it's like players we play against and know about, and we're watching their highlights because they're our age. And the older we get, these kids are fucking 2-3 years younger than us now, man. It's like, ridiculous.
Cole Iserman's 06. He's 4 years younger than me. That's so weird.
You'd fucking pull your jock strap off hang it in the meeker pretty quick. But yeah, dude, these kids are good. But beyond the first round, I don't have a whole lot of stuff to say. I mean, the first round was pretty entertaining. There's some big names. The more I looked into it, the more kind of upside there is. But yeah, Seattle's got my win for the draft. I'm going to say Toronto was the losers of the draft as well.
Ooh, you didn't
they just
Toronto
didn't make
did?
Any moves to kind of get any big pieces. And, yeah, I put them as the losers, and they're slowly starting to fall off my bandwagon a little bit. The more you're rubbing off on me a little bit, I'm starting to become a bit of a Leafs hater, but yeah, nothing beyond Seattle winning, Toronto losing the draft there.
Yeah.
Move on to free agency.
Okay, so before we get to free agency, it's get your step in time.
Get your step in.
I'll start off with in our get your step in segment. My pick for this week is the Washington Capitals. They buy cap friendly, and they're shutting it down. Like the big, like insiders use it every day.
Yeah.
Even NHL teams use it.
Fans use it every day.
Yeah, so you figure it, like, for people that don't know what cap friendly is, it basically shows all the movements that's happening around the NHL. Like, you know, like the activity board in NHL GM?
Yeah.
It's basically that. Plus, like, full roster contracts, and it shows you, like, no move clause. It shows you everything you need to know about an NHL team, basically. And everything that's going on around the league. And Washington bought it, and they're going to shut it down now. So I don't know if there's going to be a replacement coming out, or if somebody's already in the works of creating a new platform. But
I think they don't want people. Sucks. I think they don't want people knowing how much they're paying for fucking our boy from LA, Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think they're shutting it down because they don't want people to know they're paying them that much fucking money to do nothing.
That sucks.
That's good, man. I've used Cap Friendly.
I love Cap Friendly, man. I use it. Like, whenever I'm making notes for the pod, I'm always on there looking at players and stats and what their contracts are looking at. Like, last episode with the Oilers in Florida, that's what I used for everything. So now that they're taking that away, that sucks. Like,
yeah, that's a big.
I don't know what insiders, and because it's not just like amateurs like us.
No,
like NHL insiders, like Elliot Friedman and people in the NHL, like scouts use
everything
cap friendly every single day.
Yeah, every
so now that
media,
that's going, there's a lot of team that are in shambles.
Mm-hmm. Everything that I read, like reports, it all says per cap friendly at the bottom.
Yeah,
per cap friendly. So that's gonna be, they're gonna have to put out something new there. But yeah, what a kick in the nuts to take that away. I liked looking at it just even just for like when I'm bored and looking, how much is this bum making? This bum. Yeah, but I don't know. I like that. I like that Getcha Steppin' segment. I think they're going to have to replace it pretty soon, though. My Getcha Steppin' segment is Kevin Adams of the Buffalo Sabres. What are you doing? This guy's playing rookie mode, be a GM, and he's accepting every single trade deal that pops up right now. Essentially, just what he's doing right now, and the cherry on top was the Matthew Savoy trade. The Sabres have essentially traded the 2022 ninth overall pick, Matt Savoy, 2024 43rd overall pick, Cole Hudson. In return, they get Ryan McLeod, Beck Molenston, and Tyler Tulio. You ever heard of those guys? Me neither. just like what he's doing. I don't know why he's going so hard looking for forward depth, acting like the Sabres can even play defense right now. Like, yeah, doing all this stuff. I don't know, man. I think they're just really trying to get in there for the longest drought in professional sports playoff history, because this is just fucking ridiculous. I can't believe they're just giving up Savoy like that for realistically. I don't know. I don't see the vision here for Buffalo. I mean, I understand that Ryan McLeod, if he's going to have a breakout season, it's going to be next year, in the next 2 years here. But Savoy, man, they were comparing him to Nathan MacKinnon. They're comparing him to Sidney Crosby, all these guys. Like, I wouldn't go as far as to compare him to Sidney Crosby just because he's a better, like, faster skater, man. He can wheel and deal. And I'm high on Matthew Savoy. I always have been, just because when I was younger and playing in the CSSHL, so was he. And he was lighting up the NAX Academy. And I don't know, man. I still have high hopes that he's going to absolutely turn into a stud, which he's projected to be. And he's just was dominant in the WHL this year. And I don't know. To give him up for a depth piece is not a great play in my books. I don't know what the reasoning is, unless Buffalo's got something else cooking up. But as for right now, Kevin Adams, get your stepping.
That's actually I agree with that pick 100%. Yeah. I think it's a bonehead play by Kevin Adams, almost like he's trying to get fired. Like, he did nothing in free agency. He did absolutely nothing in free agency to improve his team, and then he trades away arguably his top prospect for a really good third line center.
Two of his top prospects, Savoy and Hudson.
Yeah.
Just so, doesn't make a little bit of a head scratcher out of Buffalo there.
Bonehead moves, but if they make playoffs next year, then he looks like a genius. So yeah,
and then they get bounced first round by Flyers. We'll
see how that plays out. And I think that's a great transition to go over to free agency. My winner for free agency actually is the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh.
They re-sign all their free agents, plus they get Victor Arvidsson and Jeff Skinner, and they make that trade that you just went over.
Yeah,
that Kevin Adams made. You get away. You trade away your third line center, where you sign all these forwards. You get all your big boy. You get your best, arguably top three third line in hockey. Mm-hmm. I would argue, as a Canucks fan, I think our third line is better. But you get Janmark, Henrik, and Brown back. Plus, you get Arvidsson and Skinner. So you couldn't have McLeod on your fourth line. You don't want a 23-year-old who's got speed and still has some potential to just be getting 8 to 10 minutes a night on your fourth line. So they trade him for a top prospect. Like, I mean, Henrik's 34, right? So Matt Savoy next year, he might even be able to jump up in that third line center spot once Henrik, maybe he goes down a little bit, right? Skill level. He's getting up there in age, right? So Matt Savoy, I think that's a great trade for Edmonton. They hit the spot. Like, you get rid of why am I forgetting his name? Ken Holland.
Yeah.
Ken Holland. You get rid of Ken Holland, and then I don't even know who's their interim GM right now.
I have no idea, but I know who it's going to be. Yeah, he's
cooking.
He's in the crock pot. JJ, his initials are JJ. I don't know his name, though.
Jeff Jackson?
It might be
Jeff Jackson. Yeah, I don't know who he is. I don't know what position he has with the Oilers, but
just make him. Jeff Jackson. Snaps to Jeff Jackson.
There you go. Yeah, just make him the GM already. Take that spot, man.
He's done more than Ken Holland's done in about 2 weeks.
He's done more for Edmonton in free agency and their offseason than any other GM's done for them in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and we know this is a big offseason for Edmonton, and we've talked to our Oilers insider, Carter Vandekamp. This guy is foaming at the mouth for next year. He loves all of these moves, and he's been a fan of the Oilers for, like you mentioned, the last 10 years, and the moves he's made in this offseason far surpass anything they've done in the past.
Was there anything you wanted to add? I got a couple more notes that I wanted to go over, but I'll let you hop in if you want.
On the Oilers?
Just anything.
Oh, I'm good on the Oilers there. You said they were your winner. To be honest with you.
Yeah, and the Blackhawks, I think.
Okay. That puts it to the list of four. I like the Blackhawks adding Teravainen. I'll let you handle them, and I'll get it to my two teams. I'm going to leave Nashville for us to discuss together. But my sneaky team, I really like what Washington did.
Yeah, I love it too.
It's a good pick. Just what they did, call me crazy, but the amount of shitting on we've done on Pierre-Luc Dubois, but I think that he might like step up and do something. I think it's time, man. Like he's, you can call me crazy, but I think it's time for him to wake the fuck up. And I think him in the bright lights of Washington, D.C., it's going to be a good spot for it. They brought in Logan Thompson, who's been a respectable goaltender around the league. He was a big part of Vegas when they were in their dominant run there. He's going to be good to fill in for Darcy Kemper there. Who else did they add? Chychrun, even if it's just for one year. Even if it's just for 1 year before he tests the free agency market again, Jacob Chychrun is going to be a big, big piece to Washington's back end. I wouldn't say this makes them contenders by any mean, but I really like the moves they make, and they're making a push to kind of keep Ovechkin and the Capitals relevant. And I think that's important for their franchise right now. And but the Dubois thing is a major gamble. I don't know if it's a huge upside or huge downside yet, but if he can be kind of 85-90% of the player he's shown he's capable of in his career, like he's shown flashes, if he can bring that to Washington, I think they're going to make out like a bandit, man, and give Washington the win on that trade. But I think it's also going to be a huge help to Ovechkin chasing down Gretzky's goal record, bringing in Pierre-Luc Dubois and Chychrun. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it makes them contenders, but I think there's some big ads there, and I like them kind of dipping their feet in the pond to keep, like I said, Washington relevant. And then you had Blackhawks, so why don't you go over them as well?
Yeah, the Blackhawks. I love the Tyler Bertuzzi signing. They also get Alec Martinez, TJ Brody, Timo Teravainen, and add some vet presence in Craig Smith. I mean, you look at what Bedard was able to do on a shitty team.
Maroon.
And Fatty Patty.
You forgot Fat Pat.
Fat Pat. I mean, I love those signings. You look at, like I was saying, Bedard, what he was able to do on a shitty team. I think he's kind of proved to the Blackhawks that he is this generational talent, and maybe there's a little bit of uncertainty heading into his first year of, okay, well, how, like, we've seen what he's able to do in junior leagues. Mm-hmm. What is he able to do at the NHL level? Is he going to be able to step it up and transition over to playing with grown men? And he did exactly that in his first year. So I think Chicago's looking at it like, okay, this kid's better than what we thought. Like mm-hmm. he is the next big deal. And you have to surround him with some skill. So I love adding Teravainen.
I like that a lot.
Taylor Hall is going to be back to healthy next year as well, right? Everybody kind of forgot they had him and that he got injured at the beginning of the year. So you put Connor Bedard in the middle of Timo Teravainen and Taylor Hall. That's some really good skill around him. So I love what the Blackhawks did. They're not going to make playoffs by any means this year, right? I think everybody still knows that, but I think it's a good step in the right direction for that organization. You don't want to just be a shitty team for 3 years and try and get a bunch of first overall picks and kind of, I guess, deplete the morale of your star player, right? You get these players and you want to start building a team around them fast. And
I might sprinkle on the Blackhawks to make playoffs.
Nah, dude, they're not making playoffs. Get out of here. What's their odds?
Guess.
I'm going to say 7-1.
8.5 to 1.
8.5. Okay, I wasn't too far off. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to make playoffs.
Okay.
Their backhand still sucks. They got Seth Jones as their number one D-man. But I really like the TJ Brody pick and Alec Martinez. Obviously, those aren't two players that are going to be number one pairing defensemen on a Stanley Cup contending team anymore, but they're super solid defensively. They're up there in age, so they have that presence. Martinez has won multiple cups. TJ Brody's been on some really good teams, so I really like those pickups there. And then Tyler Bertuzzi, he just plays that fuck you style of game that I love, and he's going to be a more skillful, I think, Corey Perry.
Mm-hmm.
On that team, right? He's going to be able to protect Bedzie a little bit. Still, he's got more skill, obviously, than Perry. He's still, what, he's 27, 28. He can play. Yeah, so I really like those picks.
Yeah, I like it too. I wonder if he's going to sleep with Bedzie's mom. So let's go over Nashville together here.
Yeah,
so,
we have to.
Looking at the Nashville Predators about 12 months ago when Barry Trotz. When he came in, they thought that they were going to kind of retool with some young players and some youth and maybe kind of take a step back. Like, I remember Chicklets talking about a year ago when I was working at the golf course. They were talking about Nashville and how they were one of the teams on the biggest downward trend right now. But what they've done in the past month now has put them back on the map. Let's start looking back with picking up Ryan O'Reilly last year. That was the big first step. And now this year, re-signing Saros to an 8-year deal. That's their cornerstone. They have Saros and Josi. They're two cornerstones of the franchise. And then they have big pieces up front as well. And then they go ahead and bring in the fucking man, the myth, the legend, Steven Stamkos. Nobody saw this happening. At least I didn't. And then they also snag Jonathan Marchessault, who is an absolute bandit, just a big-time clutch player. And who's the D-man?
Brady Shea.
You're right. Yeah, just huge pieces, dude. Like, looking at them now, they're a true threat, I believe.
I 100% agree with you. I think this team has, like, they made playoffs last year after going on an absolute heater. I think it was about an 18-game point streak they went on. This team's going to be a really good team again. I mean, yeah, like you said, Steven Stamkos, he was a point per game last year. He got 40 goals. You look at Jonathan Marchessault, he had a career high in goals last year. I think he had 42. And then Brady Shea, he had a career year last year. And he can be a really good second pairing defenseman, like a really, really good second pairing defenseman on that team right behind Josi. I love everything that this team's done. They're in win now mode. There's rumblings around Askarov, if they're going to keep him or not. They didn't sign a backup goalie.
I don't think they will.
Do you think they're going to trade him?
I think they're going to get rid of him, dude. After they re-signed Saros, did you see what Askarov put on his story?
No.
It was like a sad, like, sad boy hours, like bigger things to come, like some fucking, I don't even know, some John Griffith stuff, like... he was like sad dogging. Like, he was like, I don't remember what it was exactly, but I remember there was a story he posted on his Instagram about like big things are coming. Like, I'm not finished or I'm not giving up, blah, 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 something along those lines. So I think he's a little bit pissed off that he's not going to be, kind of in a bigger role. I think they get rid of him because he's a great goalie.
Yeah. He's got all the potential. I mean, him and Jesper Wallstedt with, Minnesota, those are probably the two highest touted goalie prospects in the NHL right now. You can throw Devin Levi in the mix there as well. Yeah, so he's got, I mean, you look at teams like Montreal could use a great goalie.
Philly after the goalie. Yeah. Bad, dude.
Yeah.
Bad.
Well, you don't think, do you not think the Russian guy,
Samuel Larson?
No, the guy they brought over last year.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. What's his name?
The 7-foot dude.
I totally forgot about him. I don't know, dude. I think he'd be a good backup.
Yeah, I don't think he's
number one.
No.
No. I don't know. I think that's what Philly needs the most right now is a number one goalie.
The goaltending is kind of what killed their playoff chances last year.
Exactly.
Right? So
Samuel Ayerson single-handedly stomped my Flyers' future down the drain.
Yeah. So, well, you cashed out before, right?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what can happen there. But going over a couple other NHL signings, the Tampa Bay Lightning get the Jake Guentzel sweepstakes completely, signed to a 7-year deal worth $9 million. They trade a third round pick to Carolina for signing rights during the draft. And yeah, like they get rid of Stammer, which sucks, obviously, for that franchise. Stammer felt disrespected. Jonathan Marchessault felt disrespected by their teams. Two players that, I mean, it's no surprise that Vegas would do that, considering all their movements over the last couple of years. They don't care. They move on fast. But that surprised me a lot from Tampa Bay and Julian Brisebois that they didn't even make a attempt, really. They offered him, what, 8 years at $2 million, I think, was the proposed deal. And he ends up signing, what was it, $8 million or something like that?
I'm not sure the exact deal of him, but like...
Four-year deal at $8 million, Stamkos signed.
$8 million a year?
With Nashville, yeah.
Oh, shit. He got the bag again.
He did get the bag again. Good for him.
So Guentzel loading up to Tampa. You think he's going to be a big piece for them?
He's going to be massive, dude. Him and Cooch, you look at what Guentzel was able to do with Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis last year in their playoff run. That was a sick line. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can't imagine him with Braden Point and Kucherov now.
That's especially on that power play, dude.
Oh, Hedman. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, like, they're going to be frightening. It's going to be
a sick team. Yeah.
Look at his over goals prop for the year. He's going to light up, dude.
Maybe
that over points. Yeah. What else we got? Big names moving on.
Well, one player that re-signed, Sam Reinhart, 8-year deal worth $8.6 million.
Great deal. You and I had him right in that ballpark. We had 8.5, didn't we?
Yeah, I had him to at 8 to 8.5, and I mean, he could have fetched $10
million
in the free agency market.
Totally.
I love that pick there. Anything you wanted to add on?
No, I like the value. Like I've said before, I think he's getting that hometown discount. No state tax in Florida. You just won a Stanley Cup. You're a legend there. You scored the Stanley Cup winning goal. I think he wants to make a legacy there, and I understand why he signs. He's sure he could have got the extra bit of money, but playing somewhere where the fans love you and you love to play is a big part to a player's confidence, and I think that's a great signing by Florida, and I'm super glad they locked him up.
Another player that re-signed with their team, Jacob Slavin. He signed an 8-year deal worth $6.4 million with the Carolina Hurricanes. Really good stay-at-home defenseman on that team.
Yeah.
He's not going to wow you offensively, but maybe the best defensive defenseman in the NHL. I mean, Carolina loses some players in free agency, and people are already calling their window done.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they're able to do this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they go after some pieces near the trade deadline or even midway through the year. So we'll see there.
I don't know, man. They kind of seem stuck at that plateau there, eh? Yeah. Like they just can't seem to find out a way to get past that. But Slavin, locking him up is huge. They lose their boy Brady Shea, but keeping Slavin in town is important there. Who is some other big names?
Tyler Toffoli going to the Sharks. That was crazy there. I couldn't believe that the Sharks got him.
Yeah, I know. That was
I don't understand it at all.
I don't either. He's been bounced around a lot lately.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Like, there's so many teams that were going after star player, like playoff team. Like, you look at the Canucks. I'm sure the Canucks were in on Tyler Toffoli a little, at least having discussions. Carolina.
They got the wrong Tyler. Yeah. They locked up Tyler Myers by accident.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I don't understand that Tyler Toffoli pick at all. Obviously, for the Sharks, that's great, right? You got Will Smith coming into the team. You got Macklin Celebrini. Those are two players, kind of the same situation that we're looking at the Blackhawks. Two teams that absolutely stunk last year, wanting to be a little bit more competitive. Obviously, not going to be competing for a playoff spot. They're going to be in the lottery picks next year again. But you want to surround your star players with some other superstars, or at least players that can put the puck in the back of the net. So from a Sharks perspective, I think it's a great pick. From a personnel perspective for Tyler Toffoli, I guess he just doesn't want to be competitive anymore. He doesn't really care about winning cups. I don't know what the thought process is with that, but
I lost you there a little bit, but how many teams has this guy been on? LA, well, Calgary, LA,
Canucks.
Yeah. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Montreal. He was with Montreal.
Yeah. Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
San Jose.
San Jose. Teams, is that seven teams now?
Yeah, he's like Thanos collecting his rings.
There's probably another one that we're missing as well.
I'm sure there is, dude. I just can't think of it off the tip of my tongue. But regardless, it's a good pickup for San Jose. I think I'd rather have Tyler Bertuzzi and Teuvo Teravainen than I would Barkley Goodrow and Tyler Toffoli. But
I agree.
Toffoli's going to be, he's just going to be another scorer up front for San Jose. And they have their hot flashes where they just light up some games. And I think that Toffoli with Celebrini and potentially like Will Smith out there as well, it'll be a little bit of offensive flair that San Jose has been missing.
So, yeah, another player that moved on. Chris Tanev, he signs a 6-year deal with the Maple Leafs at $4.5 million a year. That's a big one for the Toronto shit Leafs. Nolo, bit more of a Leafs fan than I am. What's your thoughts on this deal?
Oh, they love to just pay washed up D-man the big bucks. But I don't know. It'll be good. I like him back there. I like to see him in the Canadian market. He's a good defender, but I'm not too high or low on this deal at all. It's kind of a big nothing burger to me. What about you?
I mean, they needed to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Not getting Zadorov, signing. They also signed Ekman Larson.
Yeah, so like that's, that an,
that's another.
More.
Yeah, that's another player that will be good on that team. We were talking about earlier their decor, and I mean, you have Morgan Rielly, who's your number one defenseman, and then after that, you got Jake McCabe as your number two. Mark Giordano as your number two. Like, they didn't really have anyone. So bringing in Ekman Larson and Chris Tanev for your second pairing, that's a pretty good second pairing, I'd say, there. Watching what Ekman Larson was able to do last year, kind of revamp his career a little bit with Florida after some pretty shitty hockey in Vancouver. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. I don't know if the Leafs are going to make it past the first round. I sure hope not, but I guess we'll see. Next deal, the Seattle Kraken. They signed Brandon Montour to a 7-year deal worth $7 million, a big piece on Florida's back end. Their number one D-man, we were talking about it before. That and him and Reinhart were their two big pieces that they wanted to keep during the free agency window. And, I mean, they were able to get Reinhart, but Brandon Montour's gone. So, Nolo, any thoughts on that?
I like it for Seattle. I think he's going to fit in well with their team. He's good puck moving defenseman. He's not super big, and they need a little bit of skill and flair on the back end. And I think he's a good pickup for Seattle. It's weird to see that Florida didn't lock him up, and I'm curious to see if maybe. I don't know, maybe they weren't happy with him, or I wonder what the mutual parting ways or what went on there that kind of led to Montour moving on.
I think they just couldn't afford him. They had too many pieces. They had to re-sign Lundell. He was on an entry level deal, so that's an extra $5 million in cap that Lundell, they have to take on.
They had Lundell on an ELC last year.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So I mean, you got to re-sign him there. Yeah, so they just didn't have enough cap to keep him, I don't think. So
yeah, I think it'd be good in Seattle, though.
I like that pickup, too. Seattle's trying to be a bit more of a competitive team, bringing in Dan Bylsma as their coach. They got good pieces around there. Matty Benair, I'm super high on Matty Benair's. I think he's a sick player. Jared McCann's, he can absolutely snipe the puck. Oliver Bjorkstrand, he's a great player. We'll see what Shane Wright can do next year. I think if he's going to crack an NHL lineup, I think it's got to be next year, right? If you don't want to have those bust
allegations,
yeah, you're going to want to make that NHL team. And I think he will.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they can do. Brandon Montour, that's a great pickup there. They got a bunch of defensive defensemen on that team, not a bunch of offensive flair. Obviously, Vince Dunn's been great on that back
end. I love Vince
over
Dunn.
In Seattle. But yeah, I think a Vince Dunn and Brandon Montour pairing, I think that's a great pairing right there. So I really like that pickup for Seattle. Next pickup. Now we're going to go over to the Boston Bruins. They signed Elias Lindholm to a 7-year deal worth $7.75 million, and they also pick up Zaddy Nikita Zadorov, 6-year deal worth $5 million too. of my favorite players during the playoffs with the Vancouver Canucks. Obviously, Zadorov, just all the fans around Rogers Arena absolutely loved when Zadorov was on the ice, whether he was making big hits, making sick offensive plays. Like, he really did everything for the Canucks during the playoffs.
He scored in the playoffs coming down the wing and just sniping it from like the goal line. It's so funny to see him doing that. You remember those two goals? One in the Edmonton series, one in the Nashville series, down the wing and just firing it under the bar. I love Zadorov. And I also loved his quote, nobody can call me Big Z anymore.
Yeah.
paying homage to Zdeno Chara over there. But yeah, it's sad to see him move on. I'm not even a big Canucks fan, but I really loved him in Vancouver there. But yeah, Lindholm as well. I think they're paying the money that Vancouver wasn't willing to keep those guys in town. So a little bit swap there.
I totally agree. I think Lindholm, the Canucks, it didn't make sense for the Canucks to re-sign him at that deal, and especially what he was wanting, right? The Canucks would have had to slot him in at a third line center spot, which Lindholm was not wanting to do. So he moves on, goes to Boston. He's most likely going to be their number one center. You can have him paired up with probably Marchand and Pasternak, right? That's a pretty good first line center there, or first line forward line there. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. Hopefully he can kind of revamp his career after two shitty years in Calgary, because I mean, he was getting close to 50 goals a couple years ago when he was playing with Johnny Hockey and Matthew Tkachuk. So we'll see what he can do.
The show, big part of it is who you're playing with, but
yeah,
he's a player, and I think that he'll kind of get back to his form a little bit more. We saw it in playoffs, and I think he'll develop even further. I wouldn't say develop, but I think he'll step up another level in Boston. They kind of did a little bit of a swap there. Like, Boston got two Vancouver players and Vancouver got a couple pieces from Boston. So I know you're the Canucks guy on the pod. So what do you think about bringing in DeBrusque and Heinen from Boston?
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, DeBrusque, Heinen, they also bring in Derek Forbert on their back end. He'll be a third line pairing defenseman, kind of take over Ian Cole's spot, I think. I like those picks a lot. Jake DeBrusque, I really, really like I was talking about before. When I was doing my Canucks rant last episode, the Canucks, they needed a winger, a top six winger to pair with Petey, and they get that with DeBrusque. I love the way DeBrusque played in the playoffs against Toronto, especially in that first round. He's going to be a power play guy. He can play on the penalty kill if you need him to. He's got that gritty style of game that he just gets in front of the net. He's like a poor man's Zach Hyman, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential for him with Petey there. It'll be interesting to see what they do regarding that right winger spot. I don't know if they're going to play Hoglander there or what's going to go on, but it's looking like their first line is probably going to be Danton Heinen, JT Miller, Brock Besser, and then you got DeBrusque, Petey, and probably Hogs, him or Jonathan Lekkermäki if he makes the team. So I really like what they did up front. Defensively, though, their decor, I'm not a big fan of what they did during the free agency. I think they could have done a lot more.
You don't like Vincent?
Vincent Dionnet. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of his game. I mean, he was getting health bombed for Edmonton in the playoffs, right? He's good for the penalty kill, for sure. Like, he's not a shitty player by any means. He just doesn't really do a lot to wow you, right? He plays a very simple chip off the glass, just hit bodies kind of game, block shots, right? Nothing really to wow you. I'd rather have Darnay making $3 million though than Tyler Myers, I'll tell you that right now.
But do you like Darnay over Ian Cole making $3 million?
Yeah, I like that. Ian Cole. I like Darnay just because he's a right-handed defenseman. It gives you a little bit of flexibility to put him on some spot. Like, if Tyler Myers is playing shit, you could put him up to the second line, right? So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I don't mind. I think it's a good depth piece. But overall, like, I think the Canucks should have done a lot more with their decor in that free agency. But I think it's kind of a given that they will add to their decor before the trade deadline.
I agree.
They will. There's going to be a player that wants out. So we'll see what they do later on. But just going back to the Seattle Kraken, I totally forgot They signed Chandler Stephenson as well. 7-year deal worth $6.25 million. I totally forgot about that deal.
He's a fast player who's skillful.
He's a good player. So that's another player that you add to that Seattle Kraken top six. It's crazy that Vegas got him, 4 years ago from Washington, right after they won the Cup, for only a third-round pick. And he was able to be a number one center for them at some times when Jack Eichel was injured.
Yeah, I like Chandler Stephenson.
I really like that. I think there's a lot of upside there. And, I really like that. Another team that added a pretty good center who's probably going to be on their second line, Sean Monahan. Columbus Blue Jackets signed him to a 5-year deal worth $5.5 million. We'll probably never hear of him again. Like you were talking about Columbus at the beginning of the show, nobody ever hears anything about players with the Blue Jackets, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes on with Sean Monahan. And there's some rumblings that Patrick Laine wants out, so we'll see if he plays out next year or if they move him. But I think that's a decent pickup for Columbus. He's going to play a lot like Boone Jenner, their captain, right? You got two players that play very similarly, both really good two-way players that can put some points up. So. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. See, what else do we want to go through? Big piece in Montreal gets re-signed. Juraj Slafkovský, 8-year deal worth $7.6 million. He broke out a bit this year, definitely in the second half of the year. He was at a point per game. I think that's a great value pickup for Montreal, signing him to that now, $7.6 mil for 8 years. I think that's going to be a steal in about 3 years. You're looking at what he's going to be able to do with Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. Like, you got a +5 line chem right there. You got your power forward with Juraj.
Oh, yeah.
You got your playmaker with Nick Suzuki, and then you got your sniper with Cole Caulfield. So I really like what Montreal's top six is looking at. You got Slafkovský, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Kirby Dach, Alex Newhook. And then you got Demidov in a year or two, whenever he comes over from Russia. So they're going to have a really scary top six forward group in Montreal, and they're going to be an exciting team in the next couple of years. Another pickup, the Blues, they re-signed Pavel Buchnevich, 6-year deal worth $8 million. He's a big boy sniper. He's 29 years old. He had 27 goals last year, 63 points through 80 games with the Blues. A bit of a down year for St. Louis. I think they expected to do a lot better than what they did. So I could see him around the 80-point range next year and in the next 2 years. It'll be interesting to see what they do, but I like that pickup for St. Louis. I like re-signing him.
I do too. Did you see that Dylan Coughlin re-sign?
Or I did see that.
Yeah, local Nanaimo boy signs with Winnipeg here. And also another island guy, Laurent Brossois from Port Alberni, signed with Winnipeg. So two island players both signing in Winnipeg there.
No, Brossois, he was with Toronto, wasn't he?
Laurent Brossois?
Wasn't he? He was with Chicago.
Where was he before this?
No, he just signed with Chicago.
Really?
Laurent Brossois, he signed with Chicago. He was with Winnipeg.
Oh, I
got it. He signed a 2-year deal worth $3.3 million with Chicago.
You're right. Yeah, I had it back.
Get dialed, but
sleep at night. I'll just shut up for the rest of the podcast. Tell me names. I'll tell you if I like them or not.
Okay, what's your thoughts on Vladimir Tarasenko signing a 2-year deal at $4.75 million with the Detroit Red Wings?
Love it.
Yeah,
him and Kane were fucking, I wanted to see them do more together when they're in New York together, but this I think gives them a second chance to reunion. I'm excited. I think they're gonna be sick together in Detroit.
It's gonna be pretty cool. Yeah.
I like Detroit just for the fact of keeping Patty Kane going, and Stevie Y just I like what he's doing. I like Detroit. They're a sneaky team that I like. So I like picking up Tarasenko. I think they got him at good value. He showed that he can play kind of different roles throughout the playoffs with Florida. He's got two cups now. He's got some more money under his belt. I think he's going to have fun playing with Patty Kane up in Detroit there.
Yeah, we'll see what they're able to do. Another two re-signings. Florida, they re-sign Anton Lundell, 6-year deal, $5 million. And then on the other side of the state, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they re-sign Victor Hedman to a 4-year deal at $8 million. Two crucial players to both their respective teams. Nolo, anything you wanted to add on those two re-signings?
Nothing really. I think that Lundell value is kind of right ballpark where we had him as well. He was big for them. I like them locking him up for the future. He's a big key piece of their forward group there. And then Hedman, just a no-brainer. You can't let that guy go. So I like both of them. Like you said, big pieces to both their teams, and good to see them get locked up.
With Steven Stamkos gone, do you think Victor Hedman's the next captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Ooh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, they got to refill their center spot or captain spot now. That's a big role.
Well, who else is there?
Well, you got Braden Point, you got Cooch. I don't think Kucherov's going to know. I think a dark horse for that spot would be Cirelli.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely going to have a letter on his jersey.
I like Cirelli. But I think it'll probably be Hedman.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I think Hedman with the C, Cirelli with an A, Braden Point with an A, Cooch with an A.
Probably, yeah.
That'd be my guess. I don't think Cooch is sniffing the sea.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a bad boy.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, lastly, just before we wrap up the show, Utah. We were talking about earlier getting Tyler Ginla. They're going to be a more competitive team this year. They pick up Mikhail Sergachev from the Lightning. And then they also pick up John Marino. Nolo, do you think Utah is going to be pushing for a playoff spot? Do you think they're going to make a playoff spot, being that playoff bubble, or
no? I think they're still going to be on the outside looking in, but I think they're doing the right things to kind of get there. I think give it a year or two and they might be a little bit more fight, but Mikhail Sergachev, if he can stay healthy for a full season, is great for Utah. I don't know, man. I keep forgetting that Utah is the Arizona roster.
Yeah.
Like, I keep thinking it's like some fucking expansion team. But no, this was an NHL team for years, and they've stunned tons of NHL talent. I keep forgetting that it's not an expansion draft, and their best player is Mikhail Sergachev.
Yeah.
They got Clayton Keller. Like, they have pieces. I honestly,
Logan Cooley, Dylan Gunther.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Schmaltz.
Maybe a fresh start in Utah is something they need. I could see them pushing. I don't think they get in, though.
No.
I could see them making a push, maybe being a little bit more competitive, but I don't think they get in this year. Do you think they do?
I think it's going to be close, man. I look at the teams that were in the wild card spot last year. It was the Kings and Vegas. Vegas was in the wild card spot, and Nashville. Those two teams. Those are two teams that, I mean, Vegas, I think they're my losers of free agency.
Vegas?
Yeah, they lost Amadio, Marchessault, Mantha, Stevenson, Carrier, Martinez, Logan Thompson. All those players are crucial players for that lineup.
Yeah.
And they didn't really replace them with anyone. Obviously, you got Thomas Hertl, who was their trade deadline acquisition last year. And then Jack Eichel's going to be able to do what he does. Noah Hanifin's going to be great, but I mean, that's a lot of depth pieces gone. Also, Paul Cotter's gone on that team, a player that I really liked. So it'll be interesting to see how that team does. It's kind of scary days right now for Vegas after being so dominant for, I guess, since they've entered the league.
I'm ready for their downfall. I'm ready for it. They can move on.
Maybe. Do you think they're the most hated team in the NHL?
Maybe besides Boston.
Yeah.
I think it's those two for sure.
I think the Leafs are in there as well. Yeah, they got a huge fan base, but if you're not a fan of them, you hate them.
Yeah, I would say most hated is Boston, and then I would say probably Toronto second.
Yeah.
And then Vegas, since they're newer, maybe third here. But I don't like Boston or Vegas, so.
Okay, yeah. Then. Well, there we are. There's our recap for the 2023-24 NHL season. Nolo, pretty cool first season with you. We started this up as just shits and giggles and growing the Instagram account to over 300 followers, reaching the top 50 in Canada for our show at some points, being number one in Dubai.
Yeah, that was some a big really one.
Yeah, launching some hats, selling over 20 hats. Like, it's pretty cool to
4,000 total listens almost.
Yeah, like it's pretty cool to see the recognition and just the growth of the channel since we started it. So, is there anything you wanted to add on just before we wrap up season one?
Just a big thank you to everybody who's been listening in every week and interacting with our Instagram and just, I don't know, making it worth it for us. Like, we'd still be doing it even if there was only 5 followers, but the more fan interactions and listens, it just makes it a lot more fun for us. And so we appreciate every one of you guys tuning in every week, and back and bigger next year. Like Keezer said, we've got some big guests lined up for the summer. So I know these last couple episodes, just recaps, are a little bit difficult sometimes, but you guys want to hear some guests, and we're gonna have some big ones for you guys next year. So yeah, like I said, appreciate all you guys listening. And Keezer, you got anything else?
No, just a big thank you, I guess. Yeah, we're gonna see you guys probably late August, early September with some big interviews, like you said. So everybody, enjoy the summer, enjoy the hot weather. It's gonna be a warm summer season this year, so get out on the lake, have some cold ones, and
PP3 out. And we were trying different things, and we were smoking funny things, making love out by the lake to our favorite song, sipping whiskey out the bottle, not thinking about tomorrow, singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long.
Smoking funny things, making love out.